In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Genesis 2, verses 1 to 4. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Jen. Let's all be seated. I'll just pray for us. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Breath of God, breathe on us. Reveal Jesus once again, rightly and clearly. Reveal Jesus to your church. We want to see Jesus, not a Jesus we imagine in our own minds, but the Lamb who is slain at the center of the universe. Reveal yourself to us through the preaching, through the table, through the singing, and through the love we share one with another. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, here we go. Happy Pentecost Sunday, church family. Today, we join with millions of Christians around the world to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. We're in the book of Acts through most of the year, and the moment is in Acts chapter 2, right? After Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven where he came to rest on heaven's throne. And from his throne, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the first disciples while they were waiting in Jerusalem. And on the day of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to rest on those first Christians who were waiting. And they became the church, filled with God's own presence and power to keep working with Jesus in the world. And all this new stuff started exploding into the world through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And throughout the New Testament, there's a term for everything the Holy Spirit brought into the world. It's this term, new creation. Here's the idea. The same Spirit of God who hovered over the waters in Genesis 1 that Jen just read about, and then the Spirit gave birth to creation, he's the same God who on the seventh day, the Sabbath day of creation, came to rest on heaven's throne after the creation work was done. And that very same Creator God, the Creator Spirit of God and the Sabbathing God on the seventh day, that same Holy Spirit now comes through Pentecost and gives birth to a new creation, a new era where believers from every race and nation and culture, like we sang in multiple languages today, empowered for the work of God and to rest in God for forgiveness and healing. And now we're followers of the crucified and risen King, Jesus, baptized in his name. We get to obey his teachings in the community called the church. And in this place, in this new creation reality, our work and our rest becomes worshipful partnership with the living God. We get to work in God's kingdom by the Spirit's power. You guys, our work matters, not just for ourselves, but for God's purposes in the world. Eternal purposes, his beauty, truth, and goodness flows through our work as we worship him, filled with his Spirit, according to our giftings. And then, after our work, we rest in God's presence by the same Spirit. We practice the Sabbath together as a church. We stop once a week to remember God's faithfulness and embrace loved ones and feast on his goodness through the practice of intentional Sabbath rest. So I want to make a statement here to tie all of these themes together, okay? In a sense, when we practice a weekly Sabbath, we're rehearsing Pentecost over and over and over again. Because at Pentecost, first Christians rested in God's presence to then go work as worship. And we have a weekly rhythm built into our Christian practice called Sabbath, where we relive Pentecost every week. And so that's what we're doing today. And so that's what we're talking about today. It's the practice of Sabbath. So this year, not only are we going through the book of Acts, but we're looking at eight practices that shape Jesus and shape the church. And the fourth one we're looking at this year in our timeline is this one. For Pentecost Sunday 2024, we're kicking off a four-week module in our community. So if you're in a community group, the next 4 weeks you'll be talking about this practice of Sabbath. It's a pretty concrete practice, right? You're like, okay, a day. I can see that on my phone. I can see a calendar date. You can see where you're supposed to practice this. But it can be challenging for us to implement. But I would argue the Sabbath is uniquely powerful among the practices. In my experience and the experiences of many others I know, the regular worshipful practice of Sabbath can help you bring all the other practices into consistency. So what is the Sabbath? What are we doing here? What is the Sabbath? Here's God's description of it to his people, Israel, in the Old Testament. This is in the Ten Commandments. Here we go. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, by setting it aside as special for God. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your own self-care and wellness? No. Sabbath is to the Lord. To the Lord, not just for me time, not just for my self-care day. But that obviously is part of it. God cares about yourself, but it's primarily to Yahweh, to him as worship. So on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. God did. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So it's 6 days of worshipful work, sweat it out with your giftings and your passions and your partnership with others and with God, followed by 1 day of worshipful rest to the Lord. This is not, again, not just a wellness me time day, but a Sabbath to the Lord your God. They're very different things. So if you've heard us talk about Sabbath here at Park Hill, that's intentional. We try to preach on this at least once a year because it's so transformative and easy to backburner in our culture of busy. And so given the topic, here's the plan. Pentecost Sunday, we practice Pentecost and waiting on the Spirit weekly through Sabbath. It's a beautiful day of themes today. So here's the plan. I'm only going to do about 15 more minutes of teaching, 15 to 20. And then we're going to do something we haven't done in 2.5 years since preaching Sabbath in 2021. This is the last time we did this. And we're doing a brief panel discussion for diverse households. We'll stand up here in front of you from our own church. Four households that all practice Sabbath differently. Unmarried people, married people, with an opportunity for me to interview them and they'll field some questions, hopefully common questions that you guys have as part of this teaching. So you guys see Sabbath with skin on it. You see different people doing it. And then after the panel, you guys are going to bring the choir back up. They have more planned for us. They're only halfway done. The choir, it's only halfway done. So how does that sound? We'll have communion and then the choir and then we'll be done. So here we go. If this is review, some of it will be, and that's very intentional. In our culture of busyness and exhaustion, anxiety, the call of Jesus is that we'd become a community of rest. Again, not just rest as self-care, but rest as worship to the Lord our God, who chose to rest himself. He chose to rest on the throne of heaven on the seventh day of creation. And he rested on the throne when he ascended. He came to rest at the right hand of the Father. And then the Spirit rested on the first church at Pentecost as they were waiting, not working, but waiting. So as people of God on earth, we acknowledge he is king of our lives and we're not the queens and kings of our lives as we do this, as we remember the Sabbath. Remember, this is a commandment, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments, which wherever you fall, whether you believe the Ten Commandments, wherever you fall on covenant theology, we can all agree that the Ten Commandments contain eternal wisdom, right? But this is one of the Ten Commandments, but almost none of us do it. Here's the ten, all ten. They're really, really good ideas, to put it very, to understatement. These are very wise ideas. Like, for example, let's be honest. If you look at these, you're like, these are important. Like if someone says, hey, you shouldn't murder. No one's like, don't be legalistic, right? Like no one's like, that's so old law. No one does that. Or you shouldn't have sex with someone that's not your spouse. Or you shouldn't like cheat on someone else's spouse or whatever. They're not like, hey, get your Old Testament laws off my body. Like, that's so Old Testament. That's just old wisdom. That doesn't apply. No one says that. But then you get to the Sabbath one and people do say that. People are like, that's so Old Testament. So if you were like, here's AJ Sabota's, I love his classic line. If you go to the next slide, we've essentially created a church culture of 9 commandments and one really nice suggestion. And if we think about this in your workplace, if you were openly breaking the other 9 commandments, it'd probably be taboo. I mean, obviously the murder one, you'd go to jail. But like the rest, you talk bad about your parents, you dishonor your parents, you cheat, you steal stuff from your workplace, you get written up or go to jail for some of those. But as an American Christian, if you disobey the Sabbath one, you get a raise. So that's the culture we live in. We should acknowledge that. We literally celebrate people who don't obey Sabbath. We're 24/7 culture. It's killing us. According to the World Health Association and the International Labor Association, they did a study in 2021, and they found it's proven, next slide, that people who work 55 or more hours a week face an estimated 35% higher risk of stroke, 70% higher heart disease compared to people following the widely accepted standard of 35 to 40 hours a week. So it's like we're built for Sabbath. It's like we're built for this. And yet our culture has these forces coming at us to live against how we're built. And we believe those forces. So we started with Jen reading from Genesis. And one of the fascinating things about the Genesis creation stories, how many of you are familiar with the Genesis creation stories? How many of you are familiar with the Enuma Elish creation story? Less so, some, yes. There were other creation stories around at the time of Genesis being written. And there's a lot. There's Babylonian, there's Canaanite. There's other ancient creation stories with their own stories of how the gods made the world. And what's interesting about the Genesis creation story is how it's different. See, the Genesis creation story is the only ancient story that says God does not require humans to work 7 days. It's the only story that gives work dignity and makes rest sacred. Literally, other creation stories name humans as existing to be slaves to the gods. So we're born as 24/7 slaves in some of those other stories, but not the Genesis story. In fact, in the Jewish scriptures, Genesis and then Exodus, what is the story? It's precisely we're delivered from the kind of slavery that we're created for in other stories. And right, Egyptian slavery, Pharaoh, no, let my people go and worship me and serve me in worshipful work and rest rhythms. Right? And God's like, no, it's not going to be like those other stories. You're going to live my story. I love you. I made you so you can rest from work. And then you work with me from that place of rest. You can go out for 6 days and fill the world with my character. And in the Genesis story, Adam and Eve were made on day 6, which means the very first day of human existence was a day of rest. God's 7th day rest was the first divine activity humans were privileged to witness and enjoy, which is actually a profound picture of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is not, hey, if you work hard enough, then you'll find rest in me. No, it's you get to rest in God's work first, and out of that, you then work with him. Your work's not over. You just don't earn love anymore. Now you enjoy the love that you have from Christ's work. And then your work, whatever your job is, whatever you're passionate about and you're doing and you're making money and you're using that money to benefit others and yourself and the kingdom, it's all wonderful. That work, as a child of God, becomes a partnership with the Trinity now to fill the world with God's truth, goodness, and beauty as we learn to rest in God and then out of that rest, turn around to the world and work with God. But it's so easy to forget the work, rest, rhythms of heaven on earth. It's easy to forget because Sabbath doesn't make sense to us naturally. We forget to live God's rhythms we were designed to thrive in. It's like we have spiritual amnesia. Like we're addicted to success and performance-based work and we forget who we are. It's like spiritual amnesia. And so I want to call Park Hill Church once again out of amnesia and remember the Sabbath. Ultimately, Jesus' invitation to you is to worship God through resting in his presence and then working for his glory. And so Jen read from Matthew 11. In that passage, Jesus doesn't say, come to me and I'll make you successful. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll burden you with religion. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Look at the next words. Take my yoke. That's work. The yoke is hard labor that would be put on the backs of oxen in the fields of ancient Jewish farmers. And he's like, hey, partner up with me, yoke up with me. I'll show you how to do real work. I'll show you how to do real work that's not to earn the favor of God, but it's to emerge out of the favor of God that you already have. Work that matters, work that lasts. And I'm gentle and humble, and you'll find rest in my work. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God's heart for you all. That all of you, including me, become experts in Jesus' work and rest rhythms. Because Jesus is not at all made attractive when his followers are burned out and stressed, just like everyone else in the world is. John Tyson says it like always, like only he can. A restful spirit is spiritual warfare in a culture of exhaustion. So we have to learn this. We have to agree with Jesus on this. This means we have to be honest and confess our current imbalances in work and rest. That's why for 4 weeks we'll be in community discussing what does it look like to take on Jesus' yoke of work and rest more faithfully. So to that end, let me ask you, honest question, how are you? Like, how's your soul? Like, how's San Diego life treating you? 2024, it's rolling along. How are you? How are your rhythms of work and rest? Are you becoming more like Jesus because of them? Are you looking at your current pace and thinking, I could do this for another 30 years. I'm in. I feel great. God is honored. My loved ones are loved and I'm loved by them. Yes. Or are you like, I don't know how much longer I can take this. Listen to Jesus' invitation to paraphrase. Actually, this is how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this same verse. Come to me, work with me, I'll give you rest. It's that work and rest together from Jesus. So the kind of rest we're talking about today is very specific. It's practical. It's a practice. And it's called Sabbath. Why Sabbath? Because God Sabbaths. In the first story of the Bible, seventh day of creation. Why Sabbath? Because Sabbath is commanded in the Old Testament, Jesus' Bible. And then Jesus obeyed it. Jesus practiced Sabbath in the New Testament. And then Jesus clearly taught Sabbath. What did Jesus say? When he started working on Sabbath, doing wonderful things on Sabbath, the legalists came in and said, you shouldn't heal on Sabbath. And Jesus taught Sabbath in that moment. He said, hey, Sabbath wasn't made to enslave us. Sabbath was made to be a gift to us. It's still a gift. It's still a gift. Jesus taught Sabbath is an ongoing gift. Because the church, and also why Sabbath? Because the church in Acts practiced Sabbath over and over. As you read the book of Acts, as we are right now as a church, they're constantly going up to synagogues in every city on the Sabbath. They went up to the synagogue to do the work of God. On the Sabbath, they went up to the synagogue. On the Sabbath day. It's mentioned many times. Why Sabbath? Because then after the book of Acts, the church practiced through all of history, calling it the Lord's Day. And Sabbath is still a gift to receive right now for you and the rest of your life. So what does that look like practically? Practically, how do I do this? Pete Scazzaro, he's a pastor of a church. I'll read that quote in a second, but Pete is a pastor of a church in Queens that's extremely diverse. Dozens and dozens and dozens of languages and cultures and classes all converge on New Life Church in Queens. And everyone comes together to make sure Sabbath becomes a reality for everyone. if it means the more well-to-do sacrifice so that those who work three jobs and barely make it 7 days a week can take a day off, they make it happen. So in this church, it's extremely diverse. This is what he says. Here's the quote. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word that means to cease, to stop working. It refers to doing nothing related to work for a 24-hour period each week. It refers to this unit of time around which we're to orient our entire lives as holy, meaning separate from the other 6 days of creation. Sabbath provides an additional rhythm for an entire reorientation of our lives around the living God. That's the worship. On Sabbath, we imitate God, worship, imitate God by stopping our work and resting. So 24 hours, shut it down, and rest as worship. And a common response at this point is, great, I take a day off each week. But it's important to note, Sabbath isn't about a day off. A day off is, in our culture, when exhausted, overbusy people finally get around to all the chores they missed during the week, right? It becomes the catch-up day that might be a day off from your paid job, but it's not intentional worship. It's not Sabbath. Sabbath is something different. Taking a weekly Sabbath day of rest to worship and feast and rest and embrace those who you're loved by and who you love. That is to practice Pentecost weekly, to practice God's future in our present. It's literally to wait obediently on the presence of God so that you're empowered to go work with him in the world, just like the first disciples in that place of waiting in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came. So Sabbath becomes this weekly preview of the coming new heavens and new earth today in your life. To Sabbath is to begin the process of God's rule being present through your life and the space you inhabit. So at this point, you're like, oh, okay, Evan, but how do I start? Like, I have a day off, but now you're saying, Evan, a day off doesn't necessarily mean a Sabbath. So how do I actually do this? How do I make a day worship? And so we're about to hear from the panel in a minute, but just to get the ball rolling, they're just going to stand up here for like 10 minutes or 15 and just tell their stories very briefly. Just to get the ball rolling, theologian Marva Dawn, she's now with the Lord. She died a couple years ago. She's incredible, a theologian of worship. And she breaks down Sabbath into four simple parts. Cease, rest, embrace, feast. All as intentional worship to the Lord. Again, not me time self-care days, primarily. That can be a great byproduct. God cares about your body and self. But that is not the primary driver behind this day. The primary driver is it's to a person who saved you. You Sabbath to a person, to the Lord who bought you back from slavery. And so, number one, cease. Scazzaro says it like this. Sabbath is first and foremost a day when we cease all work, paid and unpaid. On Sabbath, we embrace our limits. We let go of the illusion that we're indispensable to the running of the world. We recognize we're never going to finish all our goals and projects and that God's on the throne, managing quite well, ruling the universe without my help. So to cease is literally to say, I'm not going to take any of those calls today. For me, it's like I'm not going to open a single social media app for an entire 24 hours. It's creating intentional boundaries that says, God, you, not me, are the sovereign ruler of my life. And the universe is going to run fine without me because you're sovereign, meaning you uphold everything. So I'm cool not checking email. It's going to be fine. And trust me, you guys, I know I'm the classic 2:30 in the morning anxiety guy where I can't sleep until 5:30 just because I'm thinking of all the things I need to do and could do. Always. And that's just Monday morning, right? You can't stop all that. But for me, I have to stop all that. Otherwise, everything in my life will stop in an ugly way. The reality is, whether you intentionally stop for Sabbath or you never Sabbath and unintentionally stop and die, either way, Sabbath is coming for you. It's going to come for you. So to enter Sabbath means, number one, cease, so that we can truly enter, number two, rest. And again, here's Scazzaro. Once we stop, I'm shortening these points a lot because I know that the panel is going to have their own way of describing them. Once we stop, we accept God's invitation to rest. How does that define? restore and replenish. Not just relaxing. There's a lot of things that are relaxed. You guys, we know how to relax, right? But we don't quite always know how to restore and replenish our souls as children of God. It's so easy to become lazy at rest. Like binging Netflix by yourself over takeout is super relaxing. Will not restore you. What will refill your life? What will refill your life? For me, a long hike with the family on Saturday mornings to break Sabbath. That's one of the things we do. Because we go from Friday morning to Saturday morning. And almost every Saturday that we can, we go mission trails and we hike and then we come back. We call it Kwai Pai for pancakes. Kwai Pai is one of the trails and mission trails. And we finish Kwai Pai and then we come back and we eat big pancakes. And for me, that restores my soul. That's me waiting on the Spirit for another week of work. And I'm as close to God in that moment as I've ever been. So Jesus rest means renewal, not just relaxing. So go ahead to slide 24. Cease, rest, and then embrace. That's a third one, embrace. Sabbath is a scheduled weekly reminder. Life isn't about what we do, primarily. It's about who we're loved by. And so we choose eye contact on the Sabbath. Whether you live alone or you live with people, it's the same need. We choose embrace. There's no better example of this than John the Apostle, right? The one who called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. At the end of John's gospel, we see John leaning back on Jesus' chest, embracing Jesus, in Jesus' chest at communion. And John was transformed from a son of thunder, kill the Samaritans, Jesus, into a disciple of love, laying his hand on Samaritans to receive the Holy Spirit. So to remember the Sabbath day is to stop and rest in order to embrace your community in loving intimacy. We find our true identity by resting on Jesus' heart through other people. And then finally, feast. Cease, rest, embrace, and feast. Again, these aren't in order. The Jewish Sabbath would begin with a feast, and that's important theologically because we feast on the goodness of Christ before we go out and work and make our own meals, right? But the feast is important. What is the feast of Sabbath? This is corporate worship through social intimacy. Corporate worship through social intimacy. Feasting. That's why we do the feast every Sunday here, Park Hill. Corporate worship through social intimacy. We receive Jesus' own body into our bodies as the body of Christ. That is very intimate language when you think about it. Celebrating God's goodness, individual and communal worship. How do we do that? Through celebrating beauty and music and food, affection, play, card games, Monopoly, like with people. Which brings us to the panel discussion. Here we go. So each household is going to come up. Right now, let's welcome them. We got Persleys, we got Paolo, we got Ariel. So we've got, and Sandy. Where's Sandy? There she is. Let's go. So we've got a couple of married homes, a couple unmarried homes, just different ways of doing this. So we don't even have a plan other than just to kick around how this looks in our homes. Because so often people are like, how does this look? My home is different than your home. Your home's mine. So I would love to ask, are they okay with the wired one? Thank you, Nate. Nate has this AV tech today. He is bringing together a lot of moving parts today with a choir and a panel. Very different. So you guys, hello. Thanks for coming. Is great. We can go from left to right. Anything that I've said that sparked anything, like what does Sabbath look like, Paolo, for you as far as ceasing, resting, embracing, feasting? How do you prepare to do this well in your life as you?
Yeah, thank you. I think Sabbath for me looks different every week. I probably didn't take it as serious until just like maybe 3 months ago. I thought I was doing Sabbath well for the past few years, but I realized that I'm just shutting everyone out and not engaging with anyone. So I think for me, a lot of preparation for my Sabbath looks like just being able to be spontaneous and just take it as the day comes and whatever I'm feeling. If I'm needing extra rest, I'll allow myself to sleep in for a little bit. But usually I wake up around 7. I'm like, okay, I really want to go on a long hike, or I want to go to the beach or a garden somewhere. So for me, it's intentionally allowing myself to be spontaneous, because that's really healthy for me.
Yeah.
And I think just engaging with Jesus romantically.
Yeah.
Because he really wants to woo me on those days. On those days, and I desire to woo him back. And so being in beauty, being in nature, really helps me do that.
That's wonderful, Paolo. Hey, Sandy.
Hey.
This is my wife, Sandy. you were on the panel two and a half years ago. How has Sabbath taken shape, and what are some things you've learned in the last 3 years about preparing for it, about doing it well, maybe new learnings? I don't know.
New learnings. Well, I'm a very organized person. I love rules, and I do everything just like boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
over the last few years, my bigger boys have grown and gotten jobs, and I've had to, I don't know, let go of this idea of what I thought Sabbath was. It was very family-oriented. We looked at each other with such love in each other's eyes all day long. And I thought, that's what Sabbath is. And now my three older kids, one is in England, and they've messed it all up for me. So they're out doing different things, and they Sabbath on other days, which has been very different for us. So now we have Harper and River, our two littlest, that are looking at us with love in our eyes.
Yes, they like us.
So I've had to let go of this idea. I think I have created a thing that didn't grow with my family. So that has changed. But for us, we still stick to our Friday Sabbath, where we kind of stop and do a day that looks different. We don't do our normal, our office is basically at our kitchen table. And now our table is long meals. What else would you say?
We just
slow down. We're so quick to move to the next thing. And so our Friday is still very slow, but it's just not our whole family.
Yeah, it's hard when you work from home. How many of you guys work from home a lot? Yeah, and then you're supposed to Sabbath at home, and it feels like not Sabbath.
Yeah, it's a hard shift. So sometimes I put like a candle on my table, and that feels like, oh wow, it's different. I don't know. It's a mindset.
It is. It changes everything. Thank you, Sandy. That was great. I didn't know what you were gonna say. It's true. Like we fought some of the older kids. Like he's like, hey, I want to work on Fridays. And I'm like, no. No, we don't do that here. So that was fun. Personally, any thoughts that have come to your mind? Go for it, Matt and Aaliyah.
I think what both of you guys said was really good. So to contribute, I would say, well, when I was young, I was probably mid-20s after college. I was working for this developer, high volume, really busy guy, and he just gave me a lot of responsibility. We were working really hard. And he came up to me one Monday or Tuesday and said, he asked me, hey, what are your weekends like? And I was like, oh, we work pretty hard, so I'm kind of like vegging out and just trying to rest and get ready for Monday. And he told me something that I've never forgotten. I think it's actually really a very Christian principle. He told me, if you work well, and by that he means organized and have actual achievable goals, you will rest well. And so you can check how well you're resting by how well you're working and vice versa. And so what I've done since then, so I've done this for a while now, is when I enter into my Sabbath, I do my best to do like a spiritual audit of my week and thank God for all the good work that he's given me. Name the work that it has to pause because I didn't get it done. No matter how hard I tried, it's going to come back on Monday. So thank God for the time and the work and the good, meaningful things I've accomplished while holding those things that are unfinished off. They're coming back. They're still good. And that helps me to rest well and in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaliyah.
Yeah, just kind of with that. So it's been such a good routine to actually name the good things, the good work that God has done over the past week. And then I need to actually speak out loud most of the time the things that didn't get finished. And I kind of need to lay them at the foot of the cross and acknowledge that they'll still be there and God's going to be good like he was. So kind of doing those two things that Matt's kind of like helped our family like start doing and saying like, look what God did. He'll do it again, but you have to set these down. You can't finish everything to have a good Sabbath. I think I have, probably a lot of us have this internal thing where it's like, if I got everything done on my list, I could rest well. And that is just a false narrative. You will never have everything done. I mean, on your Sabbath, you're going to sit down and look at your baseboards, you know? You're going to be like, what? Those, just a little magic eraser. No. Rest well. I think there's two things recently that I am learning, and it's our Sabbath takes different shapes. Like, we've added Junia, who's little now, and so our Sabbaths look different than when our kids were getting a little bigger. And having Sabbath with a toddler is just a different game. So we're like pretty open. We do things that bring delight. And there was a spiritual advisor that we had quite a few years ago, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Sabbath is about doing what makes you human because you're an image bearer. God wants you to be bearing his image in the way that he made you. So figure out what those things are that bring you delight and then bring God into them so closely. And do what makes you human. So for us, it's like good coffee and being outside. Yeah. It's not super complicated, and we can figure out how to do that in any season of life. And then my second thing is I'm realizing how important it is for me to practice silence throughout the week, not just on Sabbath. Mm. I have to be alone with God, even if it's just a couple minutes a day, so that when I get to Sabbath, the noise in my soul is not loud. So I need to sit down, I need to process through the week, bring God in each day so that when you get to Sabbath, you really do have the ability to enter his rest because you've been practicing it all week. So yeah. Those are my two new kind of things.
It's wonderful. And then what we have up here, we have two married couples with kids of different ages. Then we have two unmarried folks, one who lives with roommates and one who lives without roommates. And these are very different Sabbath experiences. And so Ariel, I'd love for you to share. And I think I have a question for you and Paolo at the end, and then we're good. This was a wonderful panel. But Ariel, I'd love for you to just speak into the church on this from your perspective.
I think similar to what Paolo shared, I tend to go into my Sabbath without a plan, and that's intentional. It's just what I've found works best with me. So I love to sleep in, and they're like, okay, what do we want to do today? The day is ours. So occasionally I do make plans, and I got, like, things lined up, but it's spending time with people when that makes sense, people that give me life. Sometimes it's pajamas all day because that's what I can tell is needed. I feel like a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I get out in nature. Let me tell you to all the other indoor people, outside's great, but inside is also wonderful, and I love it. So a lot of times, you know, we're just chilling hard and figuring out what that looks like for, like, being with Jesus and still making sure that there is that restorative thing in it. It's not just relaxation only, but I will also confess this. I just feel like I need to make confessions. I also love Netflix, and Evan always knocks it in. I'm like, I do feel refreshed after I spend time in another world.
Okay.
So I see you, and I'm here to represent you.
Okay. Okay. Touche. And on that spicy note, Ariel, I would love for you to also speak as a single individual to couples and families that have kids that have their own little Sabbaths in their own house, in their own place, with their own people. What, as the unmarried, probably majority of Park Hill, what would you say to the married minority of Park Hill regarding Sabbath and inclusion and belonging? Both of you, both Ariel and Paolo, you guys can finish this off by saying, like, what would you want married couples in their married routines to know?
Yeah, I think that sometimes when I am listening to these sermons and I'm reading them, I'm like, and I hear people describe them, it does tend to be people with families, and I think it's absolutely beautiful, and there's like a level of like grieving that needs to happen, because I was like, oh man, I wish that I could Sabbath that way. But for me, being a single person and one that lives by myself, a lot of times it doesn't look like that. So it's finding this balance between being a person who has friends that you love and trust, who you can be honest with and you can tell them like what you need, and on those Sabbath days, like, hey, I'm inviting myself in because this is what I need today. And also understanding that that can't always be the case. Just because it's something that you want and something you feel like you need, sometimes that's not available. So God, I believe that you've put me in this season of life. I believe that this is what you have. So I'm going to rest with you. And it feels uncomfortable and it makes me sad sometimes. But this is where God has me. So I have to trust that he has a plan for that. But I think just a word to those with those who are married, those with families, if you have single people in your life, like, it's really hard to invite yourself into that space. So if you can extend that invitation to those people, please do. And maybe their answer will be, yes, I want to come in. And maybe it'll be, no, actually, I need to be alone because there's introverts, extroverts. Let them speak for themselves. I'm not going to speak for them. But yeah, that's, I think, my word.
Wonderful. Paolo, what sayest thou?
For the married?
Message for the married. Yeah.
I think that was one thing I was not prepared for.
Oh, yeah. Well, then...
I will say... Yeah,
yeah, message for the whole church from an unmarried.
I think being a Christian for the past 8 years, I think I've realized that there are a lot of married couples who will silo off, which has caused a lot of damage in my coming to faith. But maybe a message to the singles is, don't be afraid to create something for you that brings in other people just because you haven't received that for yourself. Don't be afraid to create it. Mm-hmm. And then to the marrieds, if you want a successful, healthy marriage, you have to have friends. And the best friends are those who are single most often, who can be there. How's that? I think one of the things that has really blessed me is having the Conovers, who are really close. Michelle is up front, who have 3 little kids. And just last Saturday, I don't have a lot of money. I have $200 in my account and negative $4 in my savings. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And last weekend, we brought pizzas to their house.
Wow.
And we're just like, you know what? If it's okay with you guys, we would love to just be with you and the kids. They invited us to put the kids to bed with them, which really, really blessed us. Me and Greg, and then Stephen Cooper, who is a married man. We were just invited into their family to do the tail end of my Sabbath. It is about, for me, it's about being with people who bring me joy, who bring me peace and comfort, and who know me really well and that can speak into my life. Some of them are married, some of them are single. It is about pleasure stacking, mm-hmm. like taking the day to have things that bring me joy and peace and comfort.
It's beautiful.
And yeah, just reflect Jesus during that day.
Amazing.
But yeah, so I don't know what that means for the marrieds. I think just open your doors because it's important for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, panel. You guys are amazing. I know that was quick. Thank you. That's just to kind of whet your appetite for authentic discussions about your work and rest rhythms in community. Sabbath is Jesus's invitation to you to enter heaven's rhythms on earth. So our planet is overrun with all kinds of rhythms, many of which are incompatible with the way of Jesus. Our king walked the earth without a home. He was single, celibate, trusted families, relied on women for sustenance and provision. Women funded his base of operations, and he went from house to house, Sabbathing with his literal chosen community, these disciples. And this is who we follow. So how does our Sabbath practice look like Jesus at all? It's something worth asking. Let's feast on God's goodness and spend a day remembering and asking the Spirit to cure our spiritual amnesia. Remind us who we are, Lord Jesus. This was God's heart for you all along, ever since the first people were rescued from slavery. God said this to them, Exodus 33. You have slide 26. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. This is the promise he gave to a people who didn't know how to be a people. They didn't even know how to be a people. All they had been was actual slaves for 400 years. And so you can imagine the deep unhealth in their generations that they would then traumatically live out of had God's Spirit not intervened. And God's Spirit intervenes here. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Your work will be dignified as you partner with me to fill the world with my goodness, truth, and beauty through your giftings. And as you rest on the seventh day after 6 days of work. It's that Pentecost rhythm. We wait so we can be filled to work. And we experience Jesus in doing that. So the call is super simple this week. You'll talk about it in communities. My personal story, my therapist recently has been walking me through some identity stuff, and we've had to make a rule for me. Some of my ministry and travel has been ramping up, so I have a rule. My rule number two in my little personal thing with Sandy, I commit to not being away from home, Sandy kids' home stuff, more than one Sabbath a month because of ministry travel. I have to just speak that out and write it down. And commit to it as worship to the Lord. And that has brought so much health. Just writing that down has brought in so much life in our home. It's only been a month or two and I haven't had a chance to break the rule yet, but just writing it down and praying it through with Sandy has been life-giving. So with that, you guys, we're going to come to the table. The response is to sing. We're going to sing on, for many of you, today is Sabbath. For many of you, today is your Lord's Day, where you work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday or whatever, and then Saturday you do all your chores, and Sunday you're here, and you're tired, and you're resting in Jesus, and he's recharging you. And we're going to feast on Jesus. That's the response on this day, is to feast on his goodness. So Angel is going to come up, and he's just going to play some keys while we all stand. If we could all stand together and come to the Lord's table on the Lord's day and just say yes to his rest, because we're about to head into work tomorrow with his goodness before us. And then the choir and the band are going to come up and take us in all the way, and it's going to be awesome. But Holy Spirit, would you come right now as we come and eat and drink? Have your way in our midst and feed us with yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.